We're going to work through a few verses in the book of James. And I love James because it is this one giant proverbial step on the foot. Man, he really ruffles some feathers. He gets real. And so, you know, in keeping with that, you know, this might get me in trouble. But can you just give me some grace and trust where I'm going with this part? Ladies. I can already feel it. Yeah. We'll see how this goes to determine how the 11 o'clock service goes. ladies, have you ever come home from a long day or you're going through a tough situation, a difficult circumstance, and you go to your husband or your boyfriend or a good friend and you tell them what's going on? And then he gives you the solution. How do you respond? Not well at all. Yeah, right? I get it. I'm still, I've been married, for several years, and I'm still figuring this thing out, you know. But the best thing, all right, ladies, you're going to appreciate this. The best thing that us men can do oftentimes is to what? Listen, just shut up, Derek. You know? But nevertheless, our tendency when our spouse, when our wife comes to us is we want to provide the solution. Oh, problem? Solution. Let me fix it. And oftentimes, for one reason or another, it's going to be one of those, when I get to heaven and I get to ask God questions, this is going to be up there with it. the ladies don't like that. They want you to listen. And what's even worse, what exacerbates it, is when we end up being right. Which doesn't happen. I know, Rick's like, it doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while, you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn, right? But isn't that an interesting thing? Is like, you know, ladies come to us gentlemen for, you know, with their issues, and instead of giving them what they want, we give them what we feel like they need, and because of that, you know, there's friction and tension, right? Okay, now I'm speaking to everyone, men included. How often do we go to God with our problems and get upset with his solutions? You feel? How often do we go to God and we say, Lord, help me. God, lead me. God, I need direction. I don't know what to do. And he gives you something that you didn't want in return. How do we respond? Hostile, anger, rejection. That's not what I wanted, God. I wanted this, right? I think that happens to a lot of us. Why? For one reason or another, I think the root of it truly is a lack of faith or a lack of humility. And so we're going to dive into this today because James, we're working through this book, man, he is big on not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And if you remember the context of the book of James, he's preaching, he's writing, he's imploring Christians who have been scattered because of persecution. And he's saying, guys, live out your faith. Hang in there. If you trust God and you're faithful, not only will he see you through this difficult situation, he'll make you better because of it. And so that's what we discovered last week in the first part of the book of James. Now he kind of shifts gears in verse 19, and he starts his focus not just on, like, you know, the difficult circumstances, like the trials, the tribulations, the temptations, the tests, but how to best navigate them. And in his mind, it's going to God's word, knowing what God wants for our lives, not just being hearers of God's word, but doers. And so that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to dive in, and we're going to work through like 6-7 verses, starting in verse 19, so we can learn how to be doers of God's word, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's difficult, even if it's something that we necessarily don't want to do. Starting 19, here we go. Now, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. By the way, if you got your Bibles, underline that. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So again, in the context, you're going through difficult times. Right? When God gives you a word, when God gives you instruction, listen. Don't react negatively to what he has, because what he has for you is good. So our first point then is this. If you want God's wisdom, right? If you want direction through the difficult season, if you want God's wisdom, you must be humble enough to receive it. Hello. If you want God's wisdom, you have to be humble enough to receive it. You hear me say this a lot. Don't bend the Bible to fit your life. Bend your life to fit the Bible. All too often we find ourselves, we see Christians across the world bending and contorting and molding God's word to fit their lifestyle, to fit their worldview. But in fact, it should be the opposite, right? God gives us God's word to mold us, to bend us, to help us, right? It's not in your notes, but it's important. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. But is that true for you? Do we really go to God's word and allow it to mold us? Now, I'm using the word mold intentionally, because think about what clay has to go through to become something beautiful and useful. Think about it for a second. Right now, it's just an ugly lump of clay. Has no real practical purpose. It can do nothing. It's not pretty. Or anything like that, it certainly can't serve a need like a vase can. But imagine that the master potter looks at this and says, I have something greater for you if you just trust me. Right? And so the artist begins to work on this lump of clay, bending it, contorting it, twisting it, breaking it down, only to build it back up into what he wants it to be, which is a work of art, which is something useful, like a vase, right? Again, though, the clay has to go through pain. The clay has to be molded in order for it to become what it is to become. When you open up God's word, especially when times are hard, you have to open it up with humility. Before you even read it, pray this simple prayer. Speak to me, Father. Your servant is listening. And whatever he has to say, trust that it is for your good and his glory, even if it hurts, even if it's convenient, even if you don't understand it. You know that right now, without him, you're as useless as this lump of clay. But in his hands, he will mold you into something far more profound. And you'll discover your purpose, your meaning, your identity in his hands. Go to him for wisdom. Go to God's word for instruction. Go to God's people for advice, for guidance. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Because remember, beloved, like we discovered last week, we don't know everything. We are not experts. We are flawed, narrow-minded, short-sighted, sin-corrupted individuals who desperately need God in our lives so we can be who he wants us to be. How can we expect to be doers of the word if we don't listen to what God says through his word? How can we know how to follow Jesus if we don't study and apply his gospel to our lives? I think so many Christians today look at the Bible, especially the gospel, as this kind of like entryway into Christianity. They're like, okay, Jesus died for me, check. Move on to the next thing. You know, they believe it and they're saved by it, but they never meditate on it. They never study it. They never dive into it. And so they never grow from it. Remember what James says in verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word. I think James is reaching back, going back, referring back to a famous and important passage in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33 says this, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What's Jeremiah saying here? Basically, he's saying that there was an old covenant. And that covenant, that promise, that deal, was written on stone tablets, marked by external rules. But there's a new covenant through Christ that's written on our hearts and is marked by internal transformation. In essence, what he's saying is, and what James is saying in verse 21 is this, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And through him, you now have the ability to know God's word, know God's heart, and follow God's Son. One commentary put it this way about verse 21. James reminds believers that the word of God is not done with them after God uses it to bring about new birth. The word becomes a permanent, inseparable part of the Christian, a commanding and guiding presence within. But we have to be humble to receive it. You see, God, through the faith in Jesus, enabled by the Holy Spirit, will give you a heart and a capacity to obey him. In fact, you'll want to obey him. You'll want to live out his word for your life. You'll want to be doers, not just hearers. James 1:22, as we continue, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You will want to obey God. You will want to be doers of the word. Because of the Holy Spirit, you'll be humble enough to receive his guidance and correction in your life. If you don't want that, if you refuse to humble yourself, if you don't want to make God happy and bring him joy and please him, you need to take a hard look in the mirror. So point number two then is this. Examine yourself to determine whether or not you're deceiving yourself. Examine yourself to determine whether or not you're deceiving yourself. Luke 11:28 says this. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. John 14:15. This is a big one. I love this one. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus' followers want to live faithfully. Want, that's the key word. We shouldn't have to force ourselves to live righteously and pursue righteousness and be faithful. We want to do these things. Why? Because he is doing a new thing in us. He is controlling and moving and doing these amazing things, and we respond in obedience. We do not have an opinion in this. If he truly is Lord of your life, let him be Lord of your life. But what scares me more than anything as a pastor are those who think they are saved, but they're only deceiving themselves. Imagine being a doctor. And you bring this person in and you run all sorts of tests, and clearly the tests say, you are sick and you are dying. And as a doctor, you're like, I have medicine for you that will heal you, that will save you. But the patient is like, nah, I'm good. I don't, you know, they don't see what the doctor sees. They don't know what the doctor knows. In fact, they ignore it. In fact, they go on to say, it's like, yeah, you know what? I went on Google last night. And I found that, you know, if I buy a couple crystals, or I drink this herbal tea, then I'll be fine. And so that's what I'm going to do. I don't need to listen to you, doctor. What do you know? And the whole time the doctor's like, no, you don't know. If you don't take this medicine, you will die. In essence, the patient is fooling themselves, deceiving themselves. And if they don't wake up, if they don't snap out of it, they're going to die. Matthew 7, 21, 23 through 23, possibly the scariest verses in the Bible. Not everyone, this is Jesus, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Do you hear what Jesus just said there? You have people who are doing these amazing things, seemingly. They're going to church. They're in small group. They're praying. They're tithing. They're doing all of these things. And he goes even further than that. They're doing miraculous things. And then they get to heaven, and they're met with a surprise. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Beloved, we have to take a hard, long look in that mirror, and we have to assess, am I really saved? Am I really a Jesus follower? Is God my heavenly Father, or am I simply deceiving myself? And it's tragic because we see this all the time. So often, you get your I'm going to heaven card because you raised your hand one day. Or you said, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. I'll go to heaven. And they have no idea that they didn't really make any kind of decision. And there's no transformation that's having take place within. And we see this a lot. And so we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to know where our faith lies. One of the things I love about our Next Gen ministry, Kelly and her team, they have this I'm a Christian Now class. And it's like a 6 or 8 week thing that we take all of our children through if they are interested in accepting Christ or they just recently accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Why? Because we want to make sure that our children know Jesus. I was a college pastor for a long time, and I can't tell you how many college students came through our ministry thinking they knew Jesus. And upon hearing the gospel for themselves for the first time, they come to the realization, oh my goodness, I've been lost this whole time. Oh my goodness, I thought I was saved, but I really wasn't. And we were blessed with a very amazing college ministry, but it was a rare one. So believe me when I say there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of individuals coursing through life thinking they are going to heaven. And when they get there, they'll be like, Jesus, what's going on? He says, who are you? I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. We have to examine ourselves. You need to have a very tough conversation with yourself and ask yourself honestly, am I really saved? Is Jesus my Lord and Savior? Am I a doer of the word or am I simply a hearer of the word? You have to ask these. And I'm telling you, if you don't have confidence, fill out that connection card. Turn it in. We'll have a pastor that reaches out to you, and we will help you make the greatest decision of your eternity. But like I said, you have to look in the mirror. You have to examine yourself and ask those really tough questions so you know for yourself. Let's continue. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Our third and our final point then is this. Obeying God leads to freedom from sin. Obeying leads to freedom. Man, isn't that just like God? So here's James trying to articulate this. So he uses a mirror as a metaphor, comparing that to someone who looks into the perfect law and is transformed by it. What's the perfect law? Simply put, Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:17, this is Jesus. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Basically, what James is saying is, if you only hear the word, God's instructions, God's guidance, but are not willing to let it penetrate your heart to produce real life change, you're like someone who looks in a mirror in the morning before they jet out the door and go to work. Think about it. A mirror is only useful when you're standing in front of it, right? You see yourself, you check yourself out, you make sure that you look good, and then you leave. And some of you are wondering, Derek, do you look in a mirror? I do, and sometimes it doesn't matter. I'm so desperate to get my wife up here so she could be my mirror. So I stick with black and white. It's easy. Right? Nevertheless, though, right, the mirror only works when you're right in front of it. It's not like you will take the mirror off the wall and it goes with you to work and you're constantly comparing yourself to what you see in the mirror. In essence, what James is saying is someone who is only a hearer of the word gets no lasting benefit from it. They open up the Bible, they read it, they might even ponder over it for a second, but they close it and go about their day. And that's it. There's no real application. There's no real change. But someone who looks into the perfect law, someone who examines himself in light of the gospel, someone who looks intently into Jesus Christ and is moved and transformed by it, is blessed by it. That's what God wants for us, even in difficult times. James is saying it's not enough to open up your Bible. You got to let God transform you through it. Don't just be hearers of the word. If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, you are a doer of the word. John 8, 31 through 32 says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide, I love that word, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Romans 6, 17 through 18. But thanks be to God, this is Paul, that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of the teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. Paul is saying that if you want to become a servant of God, that means you'll no longer be a slave to sin. If you are a slave to righteousness, you'll be free to be who God intends you to be. When you let God mold you, you'll be free to be exactly who he wants you to be. And so, beloved, are you going to be hearers of the word or doers? When life gets hard or you come across a passage that challenges you, are you going to be quick to listen? Or are you going to ignore it? Are you going to get angry by it? Or are you going to reject it? Because believe me when I say this, if you become doers of the word, if you allow the Holy Spirit to work within you and God to mold you, you will become exactly who you have always been intended to be by the creator of the universe himself. And you will be free to live in his will and be loved by him. And known by him. Even when life gets hard. Even when it doesn't make sense. Go to God's word. And you will know how to live out your faith. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much. Just for these brief verses. This little just message that you have. That is so profound. And God, we want to be doers of the word. We want to be humble. We want to be transformed by you. We want to be known by you. So I pray, God, that we can examine ourselves. We can be honest and real with ourselves, that we can take a hard look in the mirror. And so we will know whether Jesus Christ truly is our Lord and Savior, or am I just deceiving myself? and I become Lord of my own life. I pray that there's anyone here this morning who has not made that great decision to surrender to you, Father, to your Lordship, Jesus. I pray that they do so today and make the greatest decision of their life. Lord, help us be a church that helps each other grow in their faith so that we are not just hearers of the word, but we are true doers. So help us do and be like Christ. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.